All right, as we get ready to go today, I want to just, this is a little bit of a history story, and this comes from the days of Franklin Roosevelt. I don't remember those days, obviously, but there's a story that as presidents are wont to do, he had a habit of having receiving lines of dignitaries and people who would come, and they wanted to meet the president, but he got tired of it. Maybe you understand how we can get tired of this. He complained that no one ever really seemed to pay attention. They were just all taken by the grandeur of being in the presence of the president. And so one day he decided to see if anybody was actually listening as they came through the line. So he tried an experiment. As each person came through the line to shake his hand, he would murmur, not real loud, but just quiet enough they could hear him. And he would murmur to them, "I killed my grandmother this morning." And every person who came through didn't bat an eye. "Great job, Mr. President. We're proud of you, Mr. President. God bless you, Mr. President." Until finally, almost at the very end of the line, the Bolivian ambassador came by and he heard what he said and he stopped and he leaned in and he said, "I'm sure she had it coming." And how does that relate to anything? I don't really know, but I know this, that we're not good listeners. We get caught up in everything else going around. We get caught up in what we want to say. We get caught up in what we want to get. We get caught up in all the things that are going on, and we live in a loud world. It's hard for us sometimes to listen. It's hard for us sometimes to pay attention, isn't it? Because there's so much going on, we are so easily distracted. We tend not to be very good listeners, and yet listening is so critical. I'm not going to talk about listening to your spouse or listening to your friends. That would be a whole nother series we could talk about. But today I want to talk about how critical it is for us to be able to listen to the voice of God, especially when we are not good listeners in general. This becomes really problematic for us. In his book, Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God, Mark Batterson says this. He says that nothing will determine your destiny more than our ability to hear that small voice. Now, before we go on, I just want to ask, do you believe that's true? Living in the world we live in, what could affect your destiny more than hearing the voice of the Creator of the universe, the lover of your soul, the one who would whisper to you not only his encouragement over you because he's created you, you are his handiwork, but also for his plans for you. We live in this world where it is so loud and so crazy that we cannot hear the voice of God. Sometimes we don't even try because we think we got this thing called life figured out. I want to encourage you that I believe these words that Batterson says is true, that there is nothing more important for us, and especially as believers, if we are not paying attention and really seeking after to hear that voice, we are missing out. And we are going to short ourselves the fullness of the potential that God has for us. And so today I want to turn into an Old Testament story. This comes out of the book of 1 Samuel. I know many of us don't go back and read 1 Samuel too often, but it is a great book. And it talks about an individual. This is kind of how Samuel, who the book is named after, comes to be who he is. Now, for those of you who don't know Samuel, he is one of the most influential characters in the Old Testament story. Maybe not quite on par with Moses, but really he is a big time influencer during his time in history. He's considered the first of the great prophets. He is also probably considered the last of the judges. Now, again, for us who live here in 21st century North America, we don't understand that. Judges were not necessarily legal people who sat and pronounced judgment over legal cases. The judges in Israel's day, back in the time before they were united as a kingdom, that Israel existed as 12 clans or 12 tribes. And sometimes they would work together, sometimes they would work independently, but they kind of existed separately. But every now and again, God would raise up a leader, and that leader would be able to unite all of the tribes of Israel, and they would be able to accomplish something. One, it was two things. Usually, it would usually have to do something with the military, that they would be able to fend off some outside influence. But also, the judge's role was to call Israel kind of back to God himself. And so as you read through the book of Judges, for example, because it's all about the lives of these individuals, we see that there is this up and down. There is this, the people of Israel would draw closer to God, and then pretty soon they would fall back off into a pit. And then they'd get another judge would call them forth. They would be rescued from their trouble, and they would be closer to God once again. But they had this pattern. Samuel fits in that theme because what he does is he's able to unite the nation of Israel and unite them against an outward foe, but also draw them back into their relationship with God. Now, okay, that's a lot of background, and I want to just move into the story because this is a key time here for who Samuel is. Samuel was born to Hannah, who had been previously thought to be barren. She was a person who struggled with infertility. And she prayed to God that she wanted a son. And if God were to give her a son, she would turn him back over to God. And so that, in fact, happened. She was able to bear a son, but then as he is a young boy, actually an older boy, she brings him to the temple for the then prophet Eli to raise him up in the temple because she has dedicated him to God's service. And that's where we pick up here in chapter 3. In chapter 3, it says this, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Okay, so that's who we got, our Samuel, our main character, Eli, the one who is raising him now. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Now here's where the story gets interesting. Because again, Samuel is going to hear the voice of God. Sounds like it's an audible voice of God. At least in his mind, he hears it as an audible voice of God. Most of us aren't going to hear audible voices of God, and we should probably be glad for that. But there are a lot of ways that we can hear the voice of God speak to us, whether it be through promptings or just an inner voice that we know it is God. But sometimes it's hard to hear it, even as it's hard here for the boy, Samuel. Samuel answers, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." And so he went and he laid down. Now, we're not going to keep flipping the slides here, but know this, that this is going to happen three times. It almost is word for word. And again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. You called me, but my son," Eli says, "I did not call you. Go back and lay down." And yet then, now, Samuel did not know yet the word of the Lord. Okay, the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. So a third time, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Eli, here I am. You called." And Eli realized that it was the Lord calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went out and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And what Samuel do? Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Samuel heard the voice, but he couldn't tell whose it was. And I want to say that's probably the challenge for most of us. If we actually are really trying to listen to the voice of God, trying to discern what voices are God's and which voices are coming from other places is probably the biggest challenge for any of us. It says in the verse that in those days the words of the Lord were rare. I'd suggest to you that God today is constantly about speaking his words to us. And when we can't hear it, the issue is probably more likely that we're not listening clearly than God is not speaking. So often we don't hear the voice because we don't recognize it. And so what we must do, if we're going to follow the Samuel pattern, is we got to do this. We have to discern the voice. and which means it's going to take some practice learning how that voice sounds. And to understand that, we sometimes need to listen and understand what other voices may be trying to get in. And then we need to determine ourselves to listen. So I've got a couple of things here. First off, to discern the voice, that we live in a loud world. I've said that already. I've said it probably three times. I'm going to quit saying it, but it's still true. And it's hard for us to hear this. There's the voice of the world that's going to constantly be in our ears, whether it be on the TV or in media or just all around. And that voice is going to almost always say, it is time for you to conform. Don't stand out. Don't act a fool. Don't do something that would bring attention to yourself, but go along to get along. Even if it's the word that we're hearing is the division, it's trying to get us to conform to whatever camp we seem to find ourselves into. God is almost never going to call us to conform. But you're going to see everything is going to be trying to be normalized. Have you watched TV lately? Everything in the world is being normalized except a humble, faithful walk with God. No, this world calls us, and it calls us to fall in line, and it calls us to conform. Sometimes we hear voices in our head as well, and sometimes they're not just the conforming voices, but they are the voice of the enemy, the devil. And when you want to hear the voice of the devil, when you hear the voice of the devil, know it for what it is, because it's going to be speaking the words of condemnation over you. Sometimes we hear that and we think it's God who's angry with me, or God who is upset with me, or God who is calling me out because I've done something wrong. And certainly there are times when the Holy Spirit will call us out for doing something wrong, but I want to suggest to you that it is the enemy who speaks words of condemnation, and if we hear those words, we need to know who they are, not pay attention to them, because those are going to be the words of condemnation. Now, again, as I said, it's going to be important for us as believers to understand the difference between what I'm going to call condemnation and conviction. Because the Holy Spirit does work in conviction. John said he would. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin. That is part of the role of God's working in us, is he's going to convict us of sin. But the reality is that condemnation comes, and when it comes, almost always going to be kind of hazy. It's not something that is going to be clear, but it's going to be just a feeling that I'm no good, I have blown it, there is no sense of purpose or direction, or I have nothing to offer. I have lost. I'm a loser. I am of no account. And that word of condemnation comes. It's not going to be specific. It's going to be very hazy, but it's going to be very hateful because the enemy hates you. And so there's going to be a sense of whenever you hear this gnawing, no good, you are not measuring up. This is going to be the words of the enemy. And the final piece is that it's going to be hopeless. There's never going to be a path out. It is, you are no good. You never have been. You're never going to amount to anything. This is the type of thing that the enemy speaks over us. And we listen to it. We let that tape roll around in our head, and it kind of begins to get us over and over again. Something goes wrong, and all of a sudden something is wrong with us. Something happens and we feel like we've lost something. We feel like we're not worthy of having something. Maybe there's a sense of, I blow it, okay? And all of a sudden I hear this voice saying that I'm a no good Christian. Why would God ever love me anyway? And there's no getting out of that. Or maybe it's this thing that says, because something is the way it is now, it will never change. And that voice of condemnation says, you blew it. You can never restore it. It is done. That situation, that relationship, whatever, it comes down to it is done and we are without hope. Know if it's the voice of God, you're going to hear it and it will be conviction. God will continue to speak to us, especially when we do blow it. But when that conviction voice comes, it is going to be specific. This is something that you shouldn't do. This is a show that you shouldn't watch. This is a website that you shouldn't visit. This is a way you treat people that you need to be more aware of being loving in the midst of it. This is a situation where you need to go and you need to apologize because that's what Jesus would do. It is going to be specific to a situation in your life. It's not going to say, oh, you're kind of bad, so you're no good. It is going to say, this situation, this behavior, this action, these words, these things need to be addressed, and it's going to come to us. It's going to come to us in a loving way, because it's not going to feel like love. It's going to feel like tough love. It is out of love wanting the very best for us that God's going to call us forth. And finally, it's going to be filled with hope, because even if we screw up, the worst thing that God's going to do is say we need to turn around. The worst thing that God's going to do is say, I will forgive you for that. You need to walk a different way. So it's going to be hopeful that God is going to say, I will restore, I will redeem, I will take even that and work it for my good for those who love me. There is something powerful about the idea of hope. And if we hear in our mind's eye, if we hear in the midst of our heart, this thing is calling me to turn and be better, we know that's the voice of God. And if we hear the saying, you've blown it and there's no hope for you, we know that's the enemy. And sometimes it's hard for us to discern which is which, and we tend to go with whatever we're hearing at that moment. But don't be fooled. He desires to speak over you. The voice of God comes in all kinds of promptings, all kinds of ways that it comes. Many of the truths that we're going to hear, if you know it's the voice of God, it's going to reflect Scripture, okay? So here it is. If you hear something in your heart and it is reflecting Scripture, you know it is true. If instead of hearing that you don't matter, you'll never amount to anything, things will never get any better, God has forgotten you, if you hear those things, you know they're not coming from God. If you hear things like this, you are my child. You are sought after and fought for. You are worth it. You are my handiwork. I put you together this way out of my love for you. If you hear you are redeemed, if you hear you are a new creation, if you hear you are more than a conqueror, if you hear you are an essential part of my body, the church. And what you have to offer is essential to its healthy working. Then you know these are the words that God is going to begin speaking over you. He wants us to hear this. God wants us to hear what he's saying. And it's not just in the way that he loves us, but he also wants to reveal his plans and his directions for us. And again, this is hard for us, like Samuel, young Samuel, not knowing what the voice was coming from. But he wants to hear us to hear his plans and his direction and his strength for us. But so often, we fail to hear it because we fail to listen well. Okay, I want to wrap it up with this. There's a couple more things I want to say. This is how we're going to begin to listen better. First off, we need to determine to listen, and we're going to do this by fostering a humble spirit. Sometimes we in our lives get so busy that we think that we've got it all together, or we think that we know best. We need to foster a humble spirit. In Micah 6:8, it talks about what does the Lord require of us? He requires that we love justice, that we act with mercy, but also that we walk humbly with our God. There is something about creating a sense of humility that I'm willing to listen. I desire to know his way for me because his ways, I trust, will be better than my ways. Second, we need to create. And this is the hardest for us because, again, well, last time, we live in a loud world. We need to create a quiet space. We're not comfortable with quiet. We don't like quiet. And yet that's essential. We will not hear God's still little voice if we don't create quiet. Psalm 46:10 says this, if you want to hear, you know, we need to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Why does he say to be still and know? Because if we don't quiet ourselves down, we will be continually consumed by all that goes around us. How essential it is for us to create a quiet space. And I would challenge each and every one of us. This is the key one because we're going to talk one more. But this one piece here is what we take away today. What is one noise that I'm going to cut out of my day or cut out of my week this week? Something in your schedule, something that you pay attention to that fills up the noise that's all around you. Some space, some place, some time that we can carve out to say, I want to just create some quiet so that I can hear God beginning and then turn my ear towards him. And that's the final piece. Just like Samuel, we need to pray to be able to hear. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Friends, God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us, and he invites us to come after, but we have such a difficult time overcoming the noise around us and the activity in our lives and the voices of the world and the voices of the devil and all of that that come into us, that we often, his words get drowned out. But he invites us to a place of hearing, and in that place of hearing, now responding. Nothing is going to affect your destiny or the destiny of our church more than our ability to come and to hear God's voice, his voice speaking to us. So I want to pray not only that he would be our vision, but that he would be the foundation that we would build ourselves on, and that even in this week, that we would be able to hear him speaking over us, in him speaking to us. Father, we pray that you would meet us and that you would help us with this challenge that we have. We are so unfamiliar with your voice that we have a hard time discerning it amidst all the other voices that scream at us. The news of what's going on in the world around us. The insecurities of seeing others seemingly doing better than we. The struggles of things that we yearn for that cause us to listen to that voice of condemnation, that we've blown it, that we're losing, that we have no place and no hope. Father, I pray that you would fill us this morning with a sense of your goodness, but also quiet us that we might hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.